One of the most powerful texts related to Tisha B'Av is, of course, Megillas Eicha, also known in the Gemara as Kinos, Sefer HaKinos, Megillas HaKinos. In English, the Book of Lamentations. And there's a famous question that's asked very often in the Midrashim and by later commentaries as well, as to why Eicha is structured in the way that it's structured. For all those that are unfamiliar, Eicha, the first four prakim, follow the structure of the alphabet. Each parak begins with an aleph. The first pasuk begins with aleph. Second pasuk bet, gimel dalet, leading all the way until tav. Happens to be that gimel deviates a little bit from the structure of prakim aleph bet and dalet, and that parak gimel is structured in such a way that it is three alephs, three bets, three gimels, three dalets. And there's a famous question that's asked as to why exactly it follows this structure. Why do we need the structure of the aleph bet in order to allow us to understand the depths of the Chorban, to allow us to gain a little bit of a personal picture from Yirmiyahu, the Navi at the time, as to what exactly the Chorban was and what it looked like and how it impacted himself and the Jewish people. There's a famous answer that's given by Rav Soloveitchik, who explains that the same way that we use the Aleph Bet for other experiences in our lives, we use the Aleph Bet for many of our tefillot. I think probably the most obvious one is Ashrei, which also follows the Aleph Bet structure, a parak in Tehillim that was originally written by David HaMelech, as well as Vidui, which we say in Yom Kippur Confession, that begins with Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, where we detail all of the Chataim, all of the sins that we might have done over the course of this past year. And so Soloveitchik explains that in the case of Ashrei, the reason why we have the structure of Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet is that we need a structure in order to express praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What gall do we have to say that we can encapsulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praises into a single parak? And so the author, David HaMelech, writes it in that structure in order to convey to us that this is the structure that allows us to give some praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nowhere comes close to actually all the praise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deserves. The same thing with Vidui. There are many chataim that we do over the course of the year, many sins that we do, and in many ways we don't always remember all of those chataim that we did. And so we use the structure of the alphabet of Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, Dibarnu, Dofi in order to give us that structure to confess some of the sins that we might have done, all the while knowing that it's really not enough because we don't even remember all that we've done over the course of the past year. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the same thing applies for Eicha as well. Chorban Beis HaMikdash was a catastrophic event, says Rav Soloveitchik. A catastrophic event that completely changed the course of history for the Jewish people. He says it's comparable to an atomic bomb, the same way that when the atomic bomb is dropped, there is the immediate impact, and then there's the impact that lasts for generations after. The Chorban Beis HaMikdash, La'avdil, is similar to that as well. There was the immediate act. There was the immediate Chorban, but the impact of Chorban lasted for generations after. And so the way that Chorban is described in Megillas Eicha and Kinos is through the structure of the alphabet, in order to teach us, in order to share with us, that what we're reading, what we're learning with regard to Eicha is in actuality just a tamtzit, just a little bit, just a prick of a finger, just a little bit of understanding as to what exactly the Chorban was. That even if we read and learn Megillas Eicha to the greatest extent, we'll never have a full grasp, a complete grasp. It's just the beginning. And so therefore, the structure of the Aleph Bet is used in order to provide that framework for sharing some of the details related to Chorban, all the while acknowledging that it's really not enough, and it's really not enough to share and the experiences, the despair, the sorrow that emerged from that event. Or Soloveitchik explains that the process of Kinos, the process of this experience of reading a Megillah like Eicha, and then ultimately using Eicha as the model for the Kinos that we say on Tisha B'Av itself, the process is to understand the impact, to understand what exactly we are mourning on Tisha B'Av. And that we use a sefer like Eicha, we use the process of Kinos on Tisha B'Av in order to understand as to what exactly occurred at that time and what the reverberations of that were throughout the generations and throughout history. And so as we head, continue to process this experience, as we continue to head closer and closer to Tisha B'Av, to the 90s, I think it's important to take a step back and to really understand the Churban Beis HaMikdash was a calamity like no other. It was a calamity that didn't only impact us at that time, but its reverberations echo throughout our history. And even while we try to understand it, it's really somewhat impossible to really understand the calamity of Churban Beis HaMikdash. I encourage all of us to take the opportunity, hopefully we'll get Mashiach Tzidkenu very soon, but to take the opportunity over these next few days, as we continue to edge closer to Tisha B'Av itself, to truly try to understand some of these reverberations, to understand some of these impacts, to delve deeper into some of the tragedies that we mourn on the day itself. So on the day itself, when we sit down and cry, we actually have an understanding as to what we're crying about. Wishing all of you a meaningful night, a night that you dedicate maybe even a little bit of time to thinking about the Churban, what exactly it means in our lives today, and how we've been impacted in our lives by that experience. Have a good night.